Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Go there today, find out what your home is worth or any property is worth here in Western New York or all across upstate. It's kind of interesting because you have the opportunity to use three different algorithms, three different methodologies to arrive at a value. It's the only place on the web where you can do that. That's HuntRealEstate.com, powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate and way out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. And ask about our many exclusive programs, including probably the most effective one you can possibly find in the marketplace, which is called the pre-purchase commitment, that allows you at no risk and no cost, no risk, no cost, to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash, because you've got a mortgage commitment, not a qualification that just says a bank, you know, might be willing to lend you so much money provided a million things are true. This is an actual mortgage commitment. All you need to do is add the house. That's exclusively through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. Call there today, personalized, customized, what we like to call knock your socks off service, and check out that low rate guarantee. Certain restrictions do apply, and the details are on our website, huntmortgage.com. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, all across upstate, and out to Phoenix, Arizona. All you have to do is dial 716-631-4800. Now, there's a market-specific number. That's the one here in Western New York. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, the street number. So you drive by 123 Main Street. All you have to type in is 123, no matter whose listing it is. And the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. All you have to do is select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. Nothing else like it, faster than the internet. It's an amazing way to find out about a house. You don't have to drive up. You don't have to pull a flyer out of a little box or something. You don't have to call anybody. All you have to do is dial 631-4800. This is an interesting time in the market. We'll be talking a little bit about that with my guest today, but I want to remind everybody that Hunt Real Estate is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We certainly hope the Sabres turn it around, and the Bills have a big opportunity tomorrow. Go Bills. This is live here at WBEN 9:30 a.m., and if you'd like to participate in today's show, all you have to do is call us at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 or star 930. Those are all free calls, so join us on the air here at Our House. In the studio with me today is one of my favorite guests who hasn't been on in a while. Mike, it's been a year and 3 months. It's a long time. Anyway, this is with me here today is Michael Chamond, who is the leader of Buffalo Place, Inc. Welcome back, Mike.
Well, Peter, it's nice to be here, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and happy holidays to everyone. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving weekend last weekend. First of all, Mike, it's been a while. Tell us what Buffalo Place is and what you're up to these days.
Well, Buffalo Place is a non-for-profit organization that was set up about 35 years ago to work with the private and public sector to make downtown Buffalo a place that you would like to work, live, play. Our motto, our mission is to keep it clean, safe, and fun. I work for a board of directors, a 15-member board led by Keith Belanger, who's the chairman of Buffalo Place. It's set up in such a way it's the public and private sector working together. I work for the private sector, and we work very closely with the public sector, the city of Buffalo, the county of Erie, the state, anybody that's willing to work with us to make downtown Buffalo a better place to be.
A lot has come together for downtown, over the last several years. And tell me what you think the role of Buffalo Place has been in the momentum building.
Well, I think...
Take some credit here. Brag a little bit, if you like.
Well, I think the board of directors and the property owners in downtown Buffalo and the different administrations that we've worked with over the past three decades have actually made a difference in downtown. It's partnerships. It's people with a vision. I've always said that Buffalo Place has always been the holder of the vision for downtown Buffalo. We've worked with the city, as I said, the different administrations, Every administration has brought something to the table that's made it better. I can't, say enough about Jim Griffin. I can't say enough about Mayor Maciel. And I really, when you think about what's come together under Mayor Brown, that's the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
And then the private sector has done a lot of investment in the downtown Buffalo area. You take a look at the Pagulas. Take a look at M&T Bank. I've mm-hmm. said this. I'll continue to say this. For years, if it wasn't for M&T Bank, we might not have had a downtown.
Right.
And then that's the leadership. And your father, Stuart Hunt, was a leader of Buffalo Place. He was the first chairman that I worked under. Vision, hard work, doing things that normally the public sector and the private sector wouldn't take on, the risk that we took as an organization, whether it was Thursday at the Square,
mm-hmm.
Whether it was Rocks the Harbor, our board stood by our organization and said, yes, this is the right thing to do. We're taking the risk, and I think it's paid off. We have a long ways to go, but it sure looks a lot brighter in downtown Buffalo today than it did 30 years ago.
Yeah, those were some pretty dark days. Obviously, we had the same situation that many of the older cities in this country had, where there was urban flight,
mm-hmm.
and the suburbs were developing places of doing business, not unlike where we are right now in Amherst. And the idea was to put where when people moved out, the businesses followed them, so people didn't have to drive as far. And all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, but through a lot of hard work, a lot of the people that bought and built these beautiful homes out in the suburbs all through the north towns and south towns and the eastern suburbs as well, they said, well, maybe not the kids are gone. Maybe we'll try to have a little fun.
Sure. And
so let's get closer to where other people are. And as a result, we've seen an explosion, I guess, for a community like ours anyway, in terms of the numbers of available housing units in downtown Buffalo. But how important is that? I mean, I've got my own theory on this, which I've shared a million times on the show, but how important in your mind has been the growth of residential housing along the main place corridor?
Well, if you want to have a 24/7 downtown, you have to have people living down there. We're very fortunate with what's going on in the medical campus, because that's bringing in a whole new bunch of new people into the downtown core. Living in downtown Buffalo, being able to get up in the morning and walk to where you work, mm-hmm. to leave there, and then at night have the ability to say, well, what am I going to do tonight? If I take a right, I can go down to Canal Side, or I can go to a Sabres game, or I can go to a Bandits game. If I take a left, I can go to a world-class theater district. And all the new restaurants down there, in the past 3 years, we've had 24 new restaurants open up in downtown Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So if you park your car and you live in downtown Buffalo, you can go to work, you can leave work, you can go in any direction and be entertained. You can go to our beautiful waterfront down at Canal Side. You can go to Harbor Center. There's so much activity to do that if you lived in downtown Buffalo, you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get in your car and drive in from the suburbs to come to downtown Buffalo. If you live down there, it's all there for you right now.
When my father was involved with you years ago, he used to tell me about the fact that it had to be, you had to have parking and you had to have security. That
yep.
was the two big deals in his mind. I know security will always be important, but the issue of parking is kind of an interesting one, particularly as how technology has evolved since those days. And most importantly, the issue of ride share. So many more times today, because it's so cost-effective, people are saying, you know what, we live in Snyder, or we live in Hamburg, I'm just going to get an Uber downtown. And you know what, even to go to work, you think of the cost of that, as
sure.
opposed to owning a car.
Yep.
Is this do you see this as impacting my dreaming, or are we still years away from that impacting?
Well, access to downtown is important. And if you take a look at how you can access downtown Buffalo, we do have a rapid transit system that does a great job bringing people from the north downs into the downtown area. And if you take a look, our roads were built for somewhere in the neighborhood of 600,000 people. Well, we shrunk, but our roads are in very good shape in the downtown Buffalo.
Well, but the highway system was built for 2.4 million.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. And if you take a look at downtown, parking is important. If you have your vehicle is probably the second most expensive item you can own, behind your house. And people like to have their vehicles. This is a driving town. But I do see where Uber has picked up. I do see that more people are taking rapid transit. The bus lines into downtown Buffalo are starting to attract more people. And parking is tight, but that's not bad. And congestion in downtown Buffalo is not a bad thing.
Is ridership up?
I believe ridership is up.
Because that's always been a mystery to me. Because we've talked about the NFTA on this show several times, but many times actually, and the idea that we have this system that was put in, let's say, if you talk about the rapid transit system itself, it was put in largely because the money was available.
Sure.
And what it did to downtown in terms of taking cars off Main Street was devastating in terms of the businesses down there, and I think sped the kind of deterioration of downtown. But that's now reversed. Tell us where we are with cars on Main Street.
Yeah. Car sharing Main Street. Well, first of all, Buffalo Place has worked very closely with the City of Buffalo and the NFTA and with our local and state politicians and our federal politicians. Brian Higgins has been unbelievably supportive, Senator Schumer. We've been competing against other cities for what we call a Tiger Grant. We've been very fortunate that over the years the City of Buffalo has been awarded two Tiger Grants, which is kind of unusual because there's very few cities in the country that have received two Tiger Grants.
What's a Tiger Grant? So?
It's a federal transportation infrastructure improvement grant. To date, the federal government has kicked in close to about $49 million to start bringing traffic back to Main Street. What we have to remember, though, is when they decided they were going to do this experiment where they wanted to make downtown Buffalo more like a suburb by producing a pedestrian mall, 56% of the property values plummeted. We lost over 1,000 businesses in downtown mm-hmm. when the transit system was being installed, and it's taken quite a while to bring it back. One of the things that we've noticed since cars have been reintroduced to Main Street and the theater district and 500 block is the investment by the private sector has followed. You improve the infrastructure, and that's bringing cars back on Main Street. You can just take a walk down Main Street. The infrastructure, the new train station, the whole feel of Main Street has changed to the positive. The next part of car sharing Main Street will be down around Canal Side. Mm-hmm. And then we still have the section from Mohawk Street basically down to the other side of Seneca One Tower that has to be completed. The city is aware of it, Buffalo Place. We will do everything and anything to try to come up with the funds to finish the job. It's so important for our downtown and for Western New York. Our downtown is what I would call the front yard that everybody looks at. The curb appeal is needed. When decision makers come in, the first place they always go is your downtown. Mm-hmm. Maybe 20 years ago it wasn't that nice to look at. Right now it's beautiful.
How involved are you in with developers, you know, when they're conceiving a project or they after they've created a project or bought a building, how involved do you get? Are you automatically a point of contact or do you reach out to them? What happens?
Well, right now, if you take a look at our board of directors and you take a look who's on our board, some of the biggest developers in Western New York on our board, Paul Simonelli, which I always thought was something that really showed Buffalo that the suburbs and the downtown area could work together. Mm-hmm. When Paul was appointed to our board, it was like, wow. And then you take a look, we have Rocco Termini and the great job that Rocco has done in downtown Buffalo. We have Carl Palladino, who's a major property owner in downtown Buffalo. These guys are all engaged on a daily basis with Buffalo Place. Nick Sinatra, who was just bought in on Main Street in the Market Arcade building, which took a public sector building and put it back on the tax roll. When was the last time you heard of that ever happening? So we work constantly with our developers in downtown Buffalo. We have an access infrastructure committee that has Carl Montantes on that committee, who's really not part of Buffalo Place. He's over on Delaware Avenue, but it's important that we all work together.
The two kind of major problems along Main Street from a building standpoint, or at least have been historically for the last umpteen years, since HSBC Bank made its decisions in 2012-ish, And then, of course, the AM&A's building. How involved are you in those two projects, those redevelopment projects?
We're big supporters. Mm-hmm. The AM&A's building has sat there for close to over 20 years. Right now, there's an investment firm that's involved, a development firm out of New York City. They're doing the asbestos abatement.
That's still going on.
That's still going on, so that's a positive. And you have to be cheering for Jamel Douglas down at One Seneca Tower. And if you drive by down there now, he's taken that building and he's repositioning it, and he's investing money in it. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look, he wants to bring retail to that end of Main Street. There's steel going up right now on the plaza. Mm-hmm. They're part of the Buffalo Place family. Anytime that they call, anything we can help them with, whether it's a security issue, a cleanliness issue, working with the city or on grants, we're there to help.
What do you see as you talk about a vision in words, but paint a kind of a word picture of what you at Buffalo Place would envision kind of the way you'd like the whole Buffalo Place corridor to look in a beautiful world.
Well, I think if you spend some time right now in the theater district or the 500 block, and you can see that there's cars, there's a train, there's people. The building fronts are decorated right now for Christmas. I would suggest that you take a walk down Main Street and you can already see the changes, and I think you just have to continue doing what we're doing. Our board of directors has made a big investment in our organization 2 years ago, where they raised a special charge on themselves, which is basically a tax on themselves up and above their county and local taxes. And what they said is, we want it cleaner, so we've hired more operations people. We're a downtown now, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, with a full crew of maintenance operations people out there keeping it clean. We upped our security efforts with the Buffalo Place Rangers that they're on every day from 8 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. They patrol the ramps. They patrol Main Street. They work very closely with the public sector security, mm-hmm. the Buffalo Police, the NFTA, and the Sheriff's Department. They're eyes and ears for the security in downtown Buffalo. And planning. We make a big investment in planning, infrastructure improvements, access. Access is huge to downtown Buffalo. And what we try to do as an organization is bring everybody to the table, working very closely with our partners, the city, the county, and the state, the DOT, and talk about how can we make the experience in downtown Buffalo, whether you're coming or going, better.
You must know what's going on in cities, even like Syracuse, the Armory Square area, for example. I was there recently with one of my college classmates. I happened to be in town for a meeting, and I was going up into the North Country, so I decided to stay overnight in Syracuse, and we got together for dinner and just walked around. We went to a couple different spots there. And this was a Wednesday night, and I was stunned. Block after block, what they've done there, and I don't know how the hell they did it, because I'd been there, several years ago. Most of the time I'm at our offices there, but I was shocked. Is that kind of a vision that, do we have a similar concept? Because it seems like we've got the Chippewa Street area, and we've got Elmwood Village up farther north, and then we've got Canal Side, but they're it's a little disjointed.
And we have the 500. Well, we're a different city. We're a linear city. Our downtown, our Main Street, it's 1.2 miles. Mm-hmm. It's kind of stretched out, but you can see it coming together. Armory Square is a beautiful location. One developer started it. He invested, and it's taken off. You do have the University of Syracuse right down in downtown Syracuse. We don't have the University of Buffalo in the center of downtown. We do have them moving in, though. If you take a look at the medical school, campus, yeah. mm-hmm. and you take a look at what's going on there with Kaleida and the University of Buffalo and Children's Hospital, I think everything is starting to come together. And if you take a look on the north, you have the medical campus. On the south, you have Canal Side. You have Harbor Center. You have what the Bendersons have done down there. And then take a look in the middle, you have the theater district. Peter, we have a beautiful downtown, and it's just the beginning of what future generations are going to enjoy.
Well, it's very exciting to me to consider all this because my firm belief, whether it's Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, or any city in this country, if you don't have that core, if the core isn't strong,
that's right.
A hub, so to speak, and we're not big enough to have several hubs like a city of Boston, like Boston, or you know, God forbid, New York, but where you've got effectively a large downtown urban neighborhood where people live. Just going off on a tangent here now, but if you look at Syracuse, going back to when they did the first housing study for downtown Buffalo Building Reuse Project, which I know you were involved with. When they did that, Syracuse at the time had more than twice as many housing units as we did, and it's half the size of our city. So, how do we overcome the years of kind of, I guess, I wouldn't call it neglect, but certainly avoidance of this whole thing?
Well, I think
the housing piece of it I'm talking
but
about.
But I think the housing piece is coming back as we speak. I mean, the mayor has made a commitment that I believe he wants to have 2,500 new housing units in downtown Buffalo in the next few years. Right now, in the Central Business District, there's roughly 1,500 housing units in the Central Business District. But if you take the overall downtown area, there's over 2,800 housing units in the downtown area, which means more people. More people are going to attract more people. It's a synergy that's starting to take place. And at Buffalo Place, our philosophy is clean, safe, and fun, and people will come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's starting to happen. Well, it has happened.
And we'll be right back with more with Mike Chamond from Our House Cheers after these very important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. It's the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available here in Buffalo, Niagara, and not just here, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our exclusive mortgage program that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before and live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. And also ask about our pre-purchase commitment. That's the one that allows you to walk into your next opportunity to buy a home with cash effectively and compete with those buyers that are coming in with cash. And today we have a very competitive marketplace and often have multiple offers, so you want to make sure that yours is a winner. Pre-purchase commitment allows you to get there. And that's at 633-3700, Hunt Mortgage. And for those of you who'd just like to pick up the phone and ask a general question about anything relative to real estate or how to get started in the process or anything else, call 633-9400. That's our Hunt Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America. And one of our customer service reps will instantly direct you to the appropriate professional for your particular needs, whether you're considering buying or selling a home and financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the Seller Security Plan. There's no greater opportunity in real estate today than through the Seller Security Plan, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. I'm in the studio today with Michael Chamond, who is the leader of Buffalo Place. And we've been talking about what Buffalo Place is all about and how it operates. And he might challenge me in defining himself as a leader. I know there's a not-for-profit board that operates the thing, but you run the show.
I report to a 15-member board. I'm the executive director. I'm very pleased to be the executive director, and I follow directions very well.
That's probably why you've stayed alive in that job as long as you have. We have a bunch of callers here, Mike. Our first one is Charlie from Williamsville. Charlie, how can we help you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'd like to applaud you guys on what you do for Buffalo. Mr. Chamond is a great guy at home. My question is this. I've been out to Las Vegas, and I've seen what they've done to Fremont Street, where they've connected buildings that are in close proximity. I mean, I've always wondered, why couldn't we do that on a year-round basis on a street like, say, a Chippewa, put a canopy over it, make this glorious light show above with zip lines and let it be no traffic. You know, just people come there and all seasons and be entertained as part of an adjacent thing to the canal side project. I mean, something more and better to do, you know?
It's an interesting idea. I'm sure you know what's going on in Las Vegas, Mike, and I've been out there, and I'm sure many of our listeners have. What do you see? Again, I was asking you about the kind of the visual, draw some word picture of what's going on down there. Do you see something like what Charlie's talking about as an opportunity?
Well, I'm a firm believer that downtowns have to be downtowns. And I think what they do in Vegas, it's because it's such an attraction and it draws people from all over the world that it might work. I don't think, and I might be mistaken, I don't think that would be the type of attraction that, A, you could afford, B, you could maintain. If you do something, you have to maintain it. And God knows how much that would be cost to maintain. And do you really make enough money to be able to do something like that? I think Chippewa Street, and the city is going to invest over $4 million on improving the infrastructure of Chippewa Street. I think Chippewa Street on its own doesn't need all of what Charlie just explained. What they need to do is continue doing what they're doing. There's new restaurants moving in. There's new investments taking place on Chippewa Street. At the one end of Chippewa Street, you have the brand new Delaware North building. What they did with the Federal Reserve building around the building that the Montantes took over and repositioned. I think the course that it's on right now is fine. What Charlie is talking about is great for Vegas. I don't think it would work in downtown Buffalo.
Just so our listeners understand, your job is Main Street.
Right. Main, Washington, and Pearl.
So Main, Washington, Pearl. Okay, so and all the stuff in between.
All the stuff in between.
Are there similar or parallel organizations for the other kind of sections like Chippewa, for example? Is there an association there?
Is there a separate
Canal Side Association, or is that part of you guys?
Well, Chippewa does have an association, the Chippewa Alliance. They meet quite a bit. They put holiday decorations up. They work on promoting together. Down at Canal Side, Be Our Guest, which is a subsidy of the Bisons, is now managing Canal Side. We work very closely with Be Our Guest, and they work under Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation, Tom D. and Mr. Robert Joya, who've done a great, if you take a look and what's taking place down there, they've all worked together and they've done a great job. And my God, when you bring people in from out of town and you come to visit, you take them to Canal Side
because
you're so proud to say, look at our waterfront finally, you know what I mean? Bed Mittler, you had it wrong. We were coming, you just didn't give us enough time.
Sure.
So, it's very positive to be part of Buffalo right now, isn't it?
So it absolutely is, and there's a interconnectedness is what I'm trying to have you illustrate there. We have another caller in line. This is Jane from Amherst. Jane, how can we help you?
Hi, yes. I want to say I'm a big fan of your show, and can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Great.
Okay, great.
Thank you, by the way.
A dedicated listener, because I've been trying to learn about Buffalo, the history of Buffalo. I myself was born and lived the first 14 years of my life in the District of Columbia. Hmm. But then I lived abroad, and I had the privilege of growing up in overseas. I spent half my life overseas, and I was incredibly impressed with specifically Germany.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I were stationed in Wiesbaden for many years, up until the first Gulf War. And then later on in Munich, and I had the ability to travel and see, East Berlin and Frankfurt and many cities in Europe, Paris. And I will tell you, I injured both Achilles tendons 2 years ago, and I could not walk. So I was in the course of desperately trying to find a cure for my Achilles tendon injury, which is your grandmother's chicken soup for your listeners. I ended up researching the history of Buffalo because I remember my grandfather, who his family, his ancestors came from Ireland 100%, and he was painfully frugal. He worked he worked to become a doctor at the through getting a degree through the University of Buffalo, and then he built the house, his house out Main Street outside of Buffalo, and his wife's family said to him, "We'll never see you again. You're taking our daughter away." He was only taking her 15-minute drive away. But then it was countryside in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
I asked myself the question, oh my gosh, this beautiful remaining historical architecture. And I grieved for who the hell thought it was a good idea to explode, you know, and destroy historic buildings just because they didn't want to put a dime in fixing it up.
Right.
But when I took my daughter in February, after Mass one Sunday, a beautiful, crystal, clear blue sky in February 2016, I want to tell you, I was in awe of the remaining architecture. And I had, I took my daughter, and she had the ability to grow up in the revitalized, historically maintained, and the area of DuPont Circle. She never saw it when it was an abandoned area
right.
of town 25 years ago like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees the revitalized Georgetown. Let me tell you, 1980 Georgetown, people begged me to give them a tour. And I'm saying, you know, it's not safe. It's just not safe. There's nothing there. Yes, the Kennedys and
Jane, I gotta ask you. Is there a question we can help you with something? I appreciate you know what you're saying, and we're you know I'm delighted to have you, someone like you, call in and tell us about the experience you've had in other cities. I'm hoping that you're leading up to that Buffalo is the greatest place you've ever been.
For Buffalo, I had a vision, and my vision was, if you were to have, I happened to reach out to About S Building and Construction Company in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I reached out to them is because the original architects of downtown Buffalo were most likely from Poland, Germany, Italy, or anywhere where they had the background.
Jane, what is your vision?
My vision is, if we were to have the freedom to say that we would like to have a historic district, shall we say, the area, decide how big of an area or how many blocks you wish to have a historic district.
Okay, Jane, we have to go to a break pretty quick here. I'm going to ask Mike to talk about this historic district concept because we have one.
Sure.
And we've got a bunch of dedicated buildings to because of their history, obviously,
absolutely.
And the Preservation Board is very active. So,
you got the Ellicott District, which is Preservation District. Mm-hmm. What's going on at Canal Side right now, and the vision that they have down there? They want to recreate what took place when Canal Side and the Erie Canal Harbor was booming. They want to recreate some of the buildings down there. They're not going to be completely functional buildings, but they are going to be what they call ghost buildings on the Central Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a sense. And you take a look at the Theater District.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Then you just the Liberty Building,
mm-hmm.
The Brisbane Building. You take a look at the Ellicott Square Building, the Rand Building.
Lafayette Hotel.
You just keep going.
Even Seneca Tower. I
mean. Seneca One Tower. It's a huge building that you know where downtown is from any place.
So basically our whole city is part of Jane's vision in terms in terms of the history and the historic preservation that's going on now. And you know, there's a lot of heartburn that goes with that because a lot of things get in the way. But we'll be back with more from Our House to Yours with Mike Chamond after these very important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, always all-new, that's found right here, based here in Buffalo, serves all of upstate and all the way out to Phoenix, Arizona. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and that is the home of the pre-purchase commitment, as well as the low rate and closing cost guarantee. And you'll want to talk to them today, 633-3700. Financing is kind of the key element of most real estate transactions, and it's always a very, very good place to start as you're thinking about either buying or selling, because if you've got a home to sell, part of the aspect of that is its valuation, which you can find at huntrealestate.com, and then what your plans are will be intimately involved in the issue of financing, even if you're paying cash. So you want to call them today, 633-3700, and find out more. I'm in the studio today with Michael Chamond, who is the what is your exact title? I didn't know.
I'm the executive director of Buffalo Place.
There you go. Executive director of Buffalo Place. There we go. That sets the bar. So we were talking before the break about kind of a vision. You know, you've enunciated several visions, actually, but all within one kind of umbrella. And Jane is talking to us about her vision, which already is reality in many cases in terms of this historic, the way that we view our buildings. And I think, as I was mentioning just before the break, that sometimes prompts a bit of conflict. I know when my father started the Brisbane building, because of the modifications that had already been made, we couldn't really do much relative to the historic preservation, which may or may not have been a good thing.
Right.
I don't know. But even when we installed new windows, it was controversial.
Right. So, you know, the preservationists, they have a role. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we respect the role of the preservationists, but we have to continue to move forward. It's amazing how many people you see on walking tours in downtown Buffalo, starting at the Market Arcade building and then fanning out our beautiful City Hall, our County Hall, which originally was our City Hall, the Guarantee building, the M&T Bank building on Main Street, what was designed by the same architect that designed the World Trade Centers. This was the mini World Trade Center. The Ellicott Square building, the first commercial freestanding office building in America, mm-hmm. which is beautiful. And then you continue, the Liberty building, and you just continue to go on. The Gold Dome building.
Well, steel and concrete construction was pioneered here for all intents and purposes.
Absolutely.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Absolutely.
Sullivan.
Air conditioning.
Air conditioning, that's right. Mr. Carrier himself.
Mr. Carrier, yes.
Was right from Buffalo.
Right from Buffalo, where... We,
you know, he worked at Buffalo Forge.
Did he?
Yeah, that's where he started and spun off from there, and all, the rest is history.
But I mean,
I remember the family that was involved with Buffalo Forge told me, kind of tongue in cheek, that one of their biggest mistakes was that Mr. Carey had come to them with this idea, and you know, he transferred a concept and. They said, oh, no.
Not going to work. It's like bottled water.
Exactly. That, who would buy bottled water when you turn on a tap?
Yep.
Well, now we're paying $3 a bottle. Utterly absurd. So. But, there's always been, just going back to the architecture thing here again, there's always been this discussion of connecting buildings in a town that has winter like we do. And I'm sure you've been to Minneapolis to see what they've done there and what that did to the first floor retail.
And exactly. And that's a discussion that I would leave to the urban developers and students that study. I'm not for walkways above ground. I'd rather see people out on our main street walking around interfacing. We have a winter, but it's not that bad. I was in Milwaukee, unfortunately. I was in Minnesota quite a few years ago for a Super Bowl. A little bit disappointing, but what a beautiful downtown Minnesota has. But there was nobody on the streets. They had an ice skating rink outside, and there was nobody ice skating, but everybody was walking about a floor above their main street, and it just didn't seem like something that I'd like to see happen in our downtown.
Like Jetson-like.
Yeah, Jetson-like.
There was a scene in one of the Jetsons a million years ago where everyone's floating around in these basically manned drones now.
Right.
Which are, I was in Dubai when the very first one was in the world was introduced. And that's another story. But they went down to ground level and they showed kind of a, a hobo-like person, and that was all that was on there, because it was that was like throwback to the the old world. Everybody else was up above.
Everybody else was. No, I think we have a beautiful downtown. I'm very proud of our downtown. Our goal is when the people have come to visit, whether they live in the suburbs or they live in North Buffalo, South Buffalo, they feel the energy that has taken place. And you just feel it, whether it's the Sabres at the one end or the medical campus.
Mm-hmm.
People come in for Christmas. I would hope that they would bring their families down and enjoy Canal Side or go to Rotary Rink and ice skate at Rotary Rink and just look around and take a look at these magnificent buildings that are so well maintained. The electric building.
Mm-hmm.
What Paul Iscolo has done to the electric building since he's taken over, the lighting of all the towers in downtown Buffalo. Last week I was at St. Michael's, our beautiful churches in downtown, and St. Michael's is lighting up their tower. It's whether it's during the day or at night, downtown's a great place to come and visit.
Well, I think the one thing that Jane pointed out, and I think this is something that we tend to be most critical ourselves about, is if there's one building that's not done, that's the one we focus on. We can look at all the ones that are done around. There's that one there. There's that eyesore that's ruining all of downtown. But those are slowly going away. But
yeah, I got to believe the cup's always half full.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, and we're always trying to fill it up to the brim. It's easy, I think, to be a naysayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to be positive. And I think that's what's happened. There's a positive energy. And it's a lot of folks working together for the same vision.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think a lot of that naysayer mentality is bred by sensationalism, a need for sensationalism, and the media's need for that, because they believe that's all the people are interested in. But I think we kind of hopefully prove otherwise on this show, because we're we always try to end the show with an optimistic perspective, and we're going to do that here today too as well with you, Mike. But I mean, the key question in my mind, I'll be a little wet blanket here for a second. The key question in my mind right now, right this minute, is the impact of something like the new tax law on New York State, and the fact that a lot of what you're talking about is driven by a couple things. Number one, people with means reinvesting, and number two, the federal and state tax credits that are available for the renovation of historic buildings. Without those two things, Rocco Termini sat right in that chair and said that the 64 buildings that have been done in downtown Buffalo, not one of them would have been done without those historic tax credits. And that's on the table right now. So tell me what your thoughts are about that.
I couldn't agree more with Rocco. Rocco is on our board of directors. Rocco has taken buildings that most people would have just looked at and said, what? And look what he's done, and he's expanded. He's done a great job in downtown Buffalo. Now he's over on Chandler Street, an area of Buffalo that most people, I imagine, haven't even been to. They will now. But Rocco's absolutely right, and it is kind of a scary time to think that those federal tax credits could go away, the state tax credits could go away, and that's part of the toolbox, because there is always a gap in funding. And the private sector needs the public sector to come through to help them to close these gaps. If the federal tax incentives go away, it's not as bright of a future as you would think it would be.
There would be no gap in funding if the market rates for office space and even apartments was sufficient,
mm-hmm,
to fund a market rate construction project.
That's true.
But that's not the case. And so we can't live in a dream world here.
That's true.
And to think that, well, let the market forces prevail, that's a wonderful thing. But there are certain, this is not a everybody's equal from town to town country. We've got historic cities like Buffalo that obviously there's good reason for them to be revitalized. But unfortunately, without some kind of mitigating factor financially that brings the cost of those projects in line with the market, they're not going to happen.
That's correct. And it is a nervous time.
It
really is.
Well, now we'll see what our legislators actually come up with. Now that there's a bill that's got to go to conference committee, that'll be very interesting because there are significant differences between the House and the Senate version.
Yep.
I think it's important that there be ideals that either or both parties pursue. At the same time, we have to have some kind of, in the last analysis, some kind of practical set of measures that allows our momentum to continue across the whole country, certainly, but in towns like Buffalo and Rochester, all across upstate, they're all the same problem.
Absolutely. I mean, go to Cleveland, same problem.
Same problem there. Exactly, except that Cleveland has a little different state tax situation. So we have the duplicating problem here, a multiplying problem of a layer upon layer of issues to deal with to make us truly competitive from a world-class standpoint. But we're getting there.
We're getting there. That's
and
right.
I, you know, so in our last couple minutes here, Michael, fast forward. Tell us what's the next evolution of Buffalo Place and what your life's going to look like running that thing.
Well, very quickly, tonight, I'm going to put a plug in. We have our tree lighting ceremony at Fountain Plaza. If anybody hasn't been there, it's spectacular.
It's going to be a beautiful night, too.
It's going to be a beautiful night. It's free ice skating. The mayor will be there. Tony Colucci, who's the president and vice chairman of Buffalo Place, will be emceeing. We'll have the county executive there. It'll be free ice skating. Santa Claus will be there. I can guarantee that every child that comes through will get a little gift from Santa Claus and have an opportunity to sit on his lap and tell Santa Claus what they would like for Christmas. And the future, car sharing Main Street, continuing the project down around Canalside, working closely with Be Our Guest to make Canalside the clean, safe, fun place it already is.
Where exactly will the tree lighting take place?
It's at Fountain Plaza, which is between Chippewa Street and Mohawk Street, right across from M&T Bank. It's being presented by Five Star Bank. It's a great family children event with fireworks.
Wow.
And it is a spectacular night in downtown Buffalo.
5 o'clock?
Well, it starts at 5. We light the tree at 6 o'clock. Free ice skating till 9 o'clock. Come on down and enjoy your downtown.
Excellent. And so in terms of your faith in the momentum for our community, in spite of everything else, what's that look like?
Well, go Bills.
please go Bills. Please.
The Sabres, I think. Take a look around. We got the World Juniors coming in.
Yep.
There's not a hotel available in downtown Buffalo the week of Christmas.
Wow.
There's not one room. We have the ball drop coming. We work very closely with the city of Buffalo to help PAL. We helped raise the money for the ball drop, and that money is we dedicate some to the Police Athletic League, which is a great organization. We have to take care of our children, and the Police Athletic League, they're doing a wonderful job. So we get through New Year's Eve, and what I'll leave on is everybody have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Mike Shimon, for your work you're doing as Executive Director of Buffalo Place. Thank you for being with us today. I'd like to thank all our listeners for being with us. We'll be back again next week at the same time, and remember, when it comes to real estate, Western New York is hunt country.